$28 billion.
It's a number that feels so abstract until you actually try to visualize it.
I tried.
Yeah.
I really did. I mean, if you took $28 billion in $100 bills and stacked them, you're talking about a tower of cash that goes into the stratosphere.
And that's the amount of money we are basically setting on fire every single year.
In the United States alone.
And that's just the financial cost. It doesn't even touch on the time, the careers, the missed opportunities.
Exactly. We were talking about preclinical research that is either, you know, irreproducible or just completely redundant, pure waste. And it's not because the scientists are bad at their jobs.
No, not at all. It's a structural failure. It's what's called the dark data problem. We've built a scientific engine that only runs on success.
And it just completely ignores failure.
Right.
Which brings us to this stack of documents we're diving into today. And I have to say, when I first opened this file, I thought, okay, another tech startup. But this is different.
It is. We're looking at the internal business plan, financial pro forma, and the strategic grant reports for a company called Dereticular.
And they're all dated this month, February 2026. This is happening right now.
And their mission. It's audacious.
It really is. They want to monetize failure. They want to pay researchers to tell the world what didn't work.
A grant-backed utility token marketplace. That's their term for it.
Which is, I'll be honest, a mouthful of buzzwords that usually makes me want to close the tab.
Yeah.
But as we dug in, it became clear this isn't just, you know, crypto hype.
No, it's a fundamental rethink of how we handle human knowledge. It's about thinking in terms of asset classes.
What do you mean?
Right now, a failed experiment is a liability. It's something you hide. Dereticular wants to turn that liability into an asset.
They want to take that $28 billion of waste and turn it into fuel.
Fuel for what, though?
Yeah.
That's the key question. Why now? Why February 2026?
Right. That was the aha moment for me.
It's artificial intelligence. We're in the age of large action models, and these AI agents are being integrated into everything, drug discovery, engineering, you name it. But the models are starving.
They're starving for the truth.
They're starving for boundaries. An AI model trained on current scientific literature only sees the hits. It only knows what worked.
It has no idea about the thousands of attempts that failed.
It's like trying to teach a self-driving car by only showing it videos of empty highways on a sunny day.
You never show it a car crash. You never show it a red light.
Exactly. So when it hits a complex situation, it hallucinates. It just guesses.
Hmm.
And in science, that guessing is incredibly dangerous.
So Dereticular steps in and says, we will build the marketplace for the car crashes.
That's it. But to really get how they plan to do that, we have to go back to the source of the problem. You know, why is that data dark in the first place?
The file drawer effect.
Mm-hmm.
I remember hearing about this in college, but I just assumed it was like laziness. You know, oh, I didn't finish the paper.
Mm-hmm. It's so much more brutal than that. In the academic world, the currency is the positive result. That's how you get grants, tenure, prestige. You publish a discovery.
We found the cure. We identified the particle.
Success is loud, very loud. But let's say you're a brilliant researcher. You've got a hypothesis. You spend 6 months, $500,000. You run the tests and nothing.
A null result.
The molecule is inert. So you write it up and send it to a journal. And what happens?
They reject it.
Of course they do. Scientist fails to find cure isn't a headline. It's not sexy. It doesn't get citations.
So you take that hard drive, you sigh, and you shove it in the proverbial file drawer.
And you have to move on. Your career depends on it. But that data, that $500,000 of work, it just goes dark. It effectively vanishes from the human record.
And that's where the waste happens.
Yeah.
Because you didn't tell anyone it failed, so nobody else knows.
Exactly. So 3 months later, a lab in Berlin has the same bright idea. They write the grant, they buy the equipment, they run the test.
And they hit the exact same wall.
Then a lab in Tokyo, then one in Boston. This is the churn. It's this invisible tax on progress. We are paying over and over and over again to rediscover the same dead ends.
The documents we're looking at highlight a specific case that really drove this home for me. It's not just money. It's about actual biological safety.
The Prozac and zebrafish story?
Yeah.
It's a chilling example. So fluoxetine Prozac, it's everywhere. It ends up in our waterways. And for years, researchers used zebrafish to test for environmental toxicity.
And the standard test was pretty simple, right?
Yeah.
Expose the fish, see if they die or start acting weird.
Right. And for a long, long time, labs ran this test and saw nothing. The fish looked fine. The results were null.
So into the file drawer they went.
And the general consensus became Prozac is safe for these aquatic environments because silence equals safety in the current system.
But it wasn't safe.
Not at all. A study by Vera Chang came out a few years ago, or in 2018. They looked deeper, and it turned out Prozac did have an effect. It was transgenerational.
That's the part that got me. The parent fish were fine.
The parents were fine, but their offspring had lowered cortisol levels. They were chemically altered from birth.
So the safety was just an illusion created by incomplete data.
And here's the tragedy. If those early labs had published their boring MEL results, a meta-analysis might have spotted a pattern. Someone might have asked, wait, why are these subtle genetic markers shifting across all these different failed studies?
But we missed the signal because we were only looking for the big, loud noise of a hit.
Precisely. And DiRaticular's analysis points out this isn't just a biology problem. It is everywhere.
Oh, yeah. The energy sector example was wild. All that Internet of Things data.
Think about smart grids. You have millions of devices collecting terabytes of data every single day. Most of it is just system normal.
It's write-only data. It just sits on a server and rots.
But inside all that boring data are the clues to efficiency. If you aggregated the failure data, where the batteries didn't optimize, where the load balancing failed, you could save billions.
But companies just treat that data as waste.
At agriculture, too. Precision farming.
That one's infuriating.
It's a classic case of redundancy. You have public money government grants paying for research to find soil baselines, basically how well fertilizer works in different types of dirt.
But the private companies, they already know all this.
John Deere knows this. Caterpillar knows this. They have sensors on every tractor. They know the soil density in Iowa versus Nebraska, down to the square meter.
But it's a trade secret. So the public pays to rediscover what the private sector is already keeping locked up.
Exactly. It's just incredibly inefficient. And DiRaticular's whole pitch is, we can fix this by changing the incentives.
Okay, so let's get to the solution. Because paying people to fail sounds, I don't know, like a scam waiting to happen. If you told me I'll pay you for your bad ideas, I'd be a millionaire by noon.
I think we all would be. But this isn't a charity. They're proposing a mechanism shift from trust to verification.
They call it the Grant Escrow Protocol.
Right. So let's play it out. Say you're the Gates Foundation. You want to fund research into a new malaria drug. Currently, you write a check to a university and, well, you hope for the best.
And if they fail, I get a polite email 2 years later saying, sorry, didn't work out.
In the DiRaticular model, you become a staker. You don't write a check. You deposit, say, $500,000 into a smart contract vault.
So the money is locked up. It's an escrow.
And the protocol mints an equivalent amount of tokens. These are the Thoros RCH tokens pegged one-to-one with your deposit.
Okay, so we have digital IOUs.
Now here's the revolution. The smart contract, it has a mandate. It is programmed to release those funds only when one thing happens.
Here he is.
The verified upload of a complete data set.
And this is the part I want to stress. The contract does not care about the result.
It is completely agnostic. Okay. Positive, negative, confusing, boring, it makes no difference. The contract pays for data completeness.
So if I'm the researcher and I spend 6 months proving my malaria drug is totally useless.
You upload the spreadsheet showing exactly how it was useless. You show your work. The smart contract verifies the upload. It triggers the release. And the tokens hit your wallet.
And I can cash them out immediately. I get paid to fail.
You get paid for the labor, for the knowledge you generated. You keep the lights on. You pay your postdocs. You don't have to massage the data to make it look like a win just to survive.
That completely removes the pressure to lie, or at least to exaggerate.
It creates a null result economy. And if you look at their financial pro forma, this is where it gets really interesting for investors. In year one, 2026, they project $0 from data sales.
Right, because they're just building the library. They're filling up that file drawer.
But then you look at year three, 2028. They're projecting $4.5 million from data licensing.
Selling the failures.
Selling the dark data repository. And who are the buyers?
Pharma and AI.
Of course. If I'm Pfizer and I'm thinking about spending $10 million to test molecule X.
Yeah. You would happily pay DiRaticular $50,000 to check their database and see that, oops, a lab in Ohio already tested molecule X 3 years ago, and it was toxic.
It is the ultimate insurance policy. You spend pennies to save millions.
And for the AI companies, it's the training data they are desperate for.
It's the red lights. It's the car crashes. It makes their models robust.
Okay, but I have to play the skeptic here. because we're talking about digital tokens, uploading files.
Yeah.
What stops me from just opening Excel, typing in a bunch of random numbers, and saying, hey, here's my negative data, pay me.
The garbage in, gold out problem.
Exactly. If I can fake the failure, I can drain the grant pool without doing any real work.
This is where Deriticular shifts from just being a Web3 project to a hard infrastructure project. They're not just building a website. They're building a hardware network.
The RIOS system.
RIOS, the Rural Infrastructure Operating System.
Sounds like something out of a survivalist manual.
It kind of is. It's designed for island mode. It works offline, in remote places, completely independent of centralized clouds like AWS or Google.
And they connect this to something called Operation Octagon.
Which, I admit, it does sound a bit like a villain's lair. But it's a global mesh of 8 sovereign nodes, servers in places like Uganda, Arizona, Switzerland.
Okay, but how does a server in Uganda know I didn't fake my spreadsheet here in New York?
Signal fusion. Oh. This is their secret sauce.
Break that down for us.
So you can fake a spreadsheet. Anyone can do that. But it is very, very hard to fake the thermal signature of a centrifuge spinning at 10,000 RPM.
Ah, okay. I see where this is going.
It's hard to fake the power draw of an electron microscope over a 6-hour session. Signal fusion means they're not just getting the results file. They're tracking the machine logs, the power consumption, the timestamps, even the ambient temperature of the lab. They fuse all these signals together.
So to spoof the data, I would have to mathematically simulate the energy usage, the heat output, and the vibration of a fully functioning lab.
Which, thermodynamically speaking, would probably cost you more energy and computing power than just doing the actual experiment?
That's clever. They make truth cheaper than fiction.
That's the goal. And they're not starting from scratch. The documents mention a proof of concept they're running right now called hemp-grade AI.
I had to reread that section twice. They're using this super high-tech science verification system for
weed, industrial hemp, to be specific. But yes, it's a real-world asset use case. Right now, they use RIOS cameras and sensors to verify the destruction of hemp biomass.
Just burning the waste.
Exactly. Hemp farmers generate tons of waste biomass. If they destroy it in a specific, compliant way, they can earn energy credits. Deriticular uses their tech to prove the pile was actually burned.
So they verify physical trash to create financial value.
And the analogy is perfect. Just as they verify physical hemp waste to mint energy tokens, they plan to verify waste data to mint research tokens.
They're proving they can bridge the physical and digital worlds before they go after cancer research.
Exactly.
So the tech is real. The economic model makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But now we have to talk about the politics. Because Deriticular needs money to build this. And trying to explain crypto tokens and sovereign nodes to the U.S. government. Well, that doesn't usually end well.
It's a massive clash of cultures. You have the DeSci, World Decentralized Science, Web3, and then you have TradSci, the NIH, the NSF, the federal bureaucracy.
And the Deriticular Internal Strategy Report calls this the Trojan horse approach. I absolutely love this section. It's so cynical, but so pragmatic.
It's necessary for survival. They basically have two completely different pitch decks.
Deck A is for the crypto crowd.
Right. When they pitch to Gitcoin or the Web3 community, they lean all the way in. Tokenomics, staking, RWAs, they speak the language of disruption. They're looking for that immediate seed, cash 10 to 50 grand to build out the prototype.
But then they put on a suit and walk into the National Institutes of Health.
And suddenly the word token is forbidden. It is scrubbed from the vocabulary. If you say crypto in a federal grant meeting, the meeting is over.
So what do they sell them instead?
Next Generation Grant Administration.
Okay.
And resilient data supply chains.
Resilient data supply chains. That sounds very official. Very boring.
Boring is safe. Boring gets funded. They appeal to the government's deep-seated fear of fraud and redundancy. They say, look, we can build a system where data is verified and immutable. They just don't mention the engine running it as a blockchain.
That's the Trojan horse.
They also have a specific target for the philosophical side of it all.
The John Templeton Foundation.
Yes, pitching intellectual humility.
Which is such a brilliant framing. The Templeton Foundation funds research into character and virtue.
It is. Deriticular is basically saying the current system forces scientists to be arrogant, to only show their wins. We built a machine that actually rewards humility, the courage to admit you were wrong.
You're not selling a database. Yeah. You're selling virtue.
And you're getting paid to do it. It's marketing genius.
So let's look at the timeline. It's February 2026. Where do they see this going in the next, say, 2 years?
Their vision is to become the Bloomberg terminal of negative research.
Wow. That's a powerful image. The Bloomberg Terminal is the tool that every trader must have or they can't do their job.
Exactly. By 2028, they want to be the place you have to check before you start an experiment. If you don't check D-Reticular, you might be wasting millions repeating a known failure. It becomes the standard of due diligence.
And the market dynamics seem to be shifting in their favor. The report mentions global R&D is hitting $3 trillion this year.
And there's a geopolitical angle. China is projected to surpass the U.S. in R&D spending this year. That creates anxiety in Washington. Suddenly, efficiency becomes a national security issue.
If we're wasting $28 billion on redundant science and our rivals aren't, we lose the innovation race.
Precisely. Efficiency is the new arms race, and then there's the rise of the AI gatekeepers.
This is a trend I hadn't even thought about.
Grant agencies are completely overwhelmed, so they're starting to use AI to screen proposals. But if those AIs are trained on old data that only shows successes, they might develop a bias against new, risky, out there ideas.
So the AI would just fund more of the same.
Right. D-Reticular argues that their sovereign infrastructure bypasses that bias and keeps the weird science alive.
Okay, let's look at the bottom line. Their pro forma shows them hitting a 55% net profit margin by year three. That seems aggressive for a science company.
It's software economics. Once you build the platform, selling the data to pharma company A costs you basically nothing. Selling that same data to AI company B costs you nothing. It's near zero marginal cost.
But the revenue model also includes a 1.5% grant management fee.
Which is the killer app.
1.5%, that sounds low.
Compare it to the status quo. Do you know what universities currently charge for overhead on grants?
I'm guessing it's like an admin fee. 10%.
Try 15 to 50%.
50. Half.
Yes. If you get a $1 million grant from the NIH, the university can take half of it just for lights, administration, and bureaucracy. D-Reticular comes in and says, we'll administer the funds, verify the data, and handle the payout for 1.5%.
That puts a massive target on their back. The universities rely on that 50% to survive.
It threatens their entire business model, and this is listed in D-Reticular's own SWOT analysis as a major threat, institutional inertia. Universities might just ban their researchers from using it because it cuts them out of the loop.
So it's a battle between the old guard, the rent seekers, and this new decentralized model.
It is, and it brings up the core concept of sovereign science.
Explain that, Chair. They use it a lot in the documents.
It's the idea that scientific truth shouldn't be owned or controlled by a centralized institution. If a university is embarrassed by a failed experiment, they can delete the data. If a government doesn't like a climate study, they can suppress it.
But if it's on D-Reticular's Operation Octagon nodes...
It's immutable. It's on the blockchain. No one can delete it. The failure is there forever, serving as a lesson for everyone. It decentralizes truth, so it can't be manipulated.
It's really about turning failure from a liability into a public utility.
Exactly. We're moving from publish or perish to publish everything and get paid.
It's a compelling vision. I mean, it solves the waste, it feeds the AI, and it rewards scientists for doing the hard, unglamorous work.
Mm.
But as you said, the execution risk is huge.
It is. But the fact they have a working proof of concept with the hemp industry suggests they're not just dreaming, they are actually building the plumbing.
Well, as we wrap up this deep dive, I'm left thinking about the bigger implication here. We've been talking about scientific data, but the core concept, monetizing the waste product, is fascinating.
It really challenges our definition of value.
It does. If failed experiments are actually worth billions, what else in our lives or in our society do we consider waste just because we haven't built the right marketplace for it yet?
Yeah.
What other dark data is sitting in our personal file drawers just waiting to be turned into gold?
That is the question. And maybe the answer is that nothing is truly waste if you can find the right context for it.
I like that. Thank you for listening to The Deep Dive. We'll catch you on the next one.